Welcome to City Hope London's Sermon Podcast. To find out more about us, visit www.cityhope.london.
So, how good to see you all. You're going to miss my accent, eh? So just to give a bit of background for people who don't know us, there's so many new faces here. So during the time of apartheid in South Africa, I went into the townships and met many friends and helped fight the government to break apartheid and to bring what is now a South Africa under proper rule. In an African way. And I feel that's what the Bible says church has to do. We as Christians, we fight against injustice. That's our job. It's one of our biggest jobs is to see injustice and to stand up and speak about it. And when we came over here 17 years ago, it was for 6 months. And Dave Nunn, who used to lead this church, he asked us to come for 3 months, and then we were in Maidstone for 3 months. But something happened, and we got so booked across the nation that 17 years later, we are still here, which is amazing. And you must realize that when I went into the townships for the first time and started ministering, women didn't do such stuff at all. And so there was a big price for me to pay in doing men's work. But you know, I am more in love with God and wanting what he's got than fear of man. Yeah. And I want to bring, you know, I'm just walking through a bit of my story. Yeah. Because it's a big deal. So in our church at the time, women, you couldn't even lead worship. You were certainly not a home group leader, or it's like a nothing. And here pops up somebody, and God said to me, go into the townships, which I did. And I never knew it would become this big ministry thing of hundreds and hundreds getting saved, and me bringing Black Africans into our very white church. Well, it was apartheid. And so you had black church, what you call mixed race, brown church and white church were separate. And I brought busloads of people in and we had to reshape the church into, how do we do this? It's a big deal. It's a huge deal. I got into so much trouble. But you know, because the white mindset was so trapped and superior and entitled, and to retrain people's minds, you know, we're all equal. We are equal. It took ages to get through, and I got into trouble and lots, and was told a woman shouldn't be ministering. Never mind the good that was being done. By people being saved and apartheid being dismantled, women shouldn't do it. So I do want to encourage the women here. Whatever God has prepared for you, you're answerable to him. Without disrupting, I do not disrupt church, but without disrupting, do what God has called you to do. Pay the price and watch him come through in the hugest way. So we came here, and I think at the time the elders here took a chance.
It worked.
By asking me to come for 3 months, but then we were going home. But when we knew that we were going to be here for a while, we had to find a base. And a church in the West Country got a house for us and money and so on and said there, I love London. So Dave and Leslie Nunn came to find us and said, please come and base yourselves at City Hope. Well, never mind the West Country. We were here. But you must understand, this wasn't times where women just did these things. This church has got a grace on it to actually model things, and that's the big word I'm bringing you, to model things for other people to come and see, oh, that's how you do it. And so at the time, women normally did the admin in church, and here's me, the ministry person. And how we were linked to City Hope is Ruth and Eric Biggs. Ruth has been here forever. And we met them in East Sussex, where we were linked to that church. And then they moved to Bermondsey. So we followed them and came on a Sunday. And as visitors, we were still living in South Africa. And this church was very different to the good and clean and fresh places we had been. I loved the mix of people. I loved, you know, in South Africa there was apartheid, but not class. And then we came to this nation, and I'm thinking, what is this? All these classes, and then there's lower class, and then lower working class, and then middle, and then lower middle class, and do you know? And it's a shock. It was a shock to see people working in these classes. I still don't get it, because before God, you know what? We all need to become followers of Jesus. We all are sinners who need to be saved, and it makes an equal. The present king is as, if he's not saved, he needs to be saved, as much as the person who one looks at and thinks, oh, well, they haven't got an education. Do you see? We are actually all equal before God. And so to come to a church where this was being worked out and put into place. And then we went back to Cape Town, and I thought, well, if we ever, we never thought we'd be in England long term, that would be where we would go, because you were modeling something that I hadn't seen before. And you see, because you come here and you don't travel around to churches, you think this is just normal. And there's moans and groans, well, this isn't working, and why didn't we do this? And, you know, there's still racism, and there's still this and still that. But you are ahead in things from where I come from, having traveled this nation. And you've got to hear that, because you've got something rich here that you don't see in many places. There's a model going on here. And it's a job that God has given you to do as City Hope, combined. Everybody, it's not just the elders and the leaders. This is the church. You're all in this together. Yeah? And so when I was based here, I learned so much. One day, Paul Brown and I were giving out leaflets, inviting people to something or other. And afterwards, we went to sit at the old bank out in the sun was shining. The sun was shining. And we sat at the old bank, and we were going to debrief.
Trust you, find a pub.
But do you know, people came from, I never got to talk to Paul. Half the community went past and said, hi, hello, Pastor Paul, hello. And I thought, I've just never seen this before. There's a grace on Paul that is... that is quite amazing. And it's to get behind him, because there's a grace of the person who gets people listening about Jesus, plus he's a pastor. And that's an unusual combination, because normally it's get saved, you must get saved, and not much pastoring. But he and Denise have got this that is combined, this care for people, and yet a passion to see people saved. And I want to, Paul and Denise, come up here quickly. I wasn't going to do this. just a quick job for you to do. If you are willing, I want them to...
Oh, no. Sorry, she's gone, he's crying, I am.
he's me man, you know.
Mate, don't do it, boy.
But I want them to pray on you, because at the end you'll see why. On you, the anointing that is on them, I want you to acknowledge it by saying, Lord, give us some of that. Do you see? Because there's a new season for City Hope.
Hallelujah.
There's a new season of breakthrough. You know, we've been praying for revival. It's not going to be revival and the wobbles and the shake and everybody just enjoying God, and which is wonderful. But it's for the people. It's, you know, we call to the world. And so we come here, we enjoy God, but for the world. And this couple have something on them of being able to talk about Jesus, but with such passion, with such kindness and such grace. And with the jobs God has given you to change various things, it needs kindness and grace. We've had enough of the smacks. You know, the world gets smacks, and sometimes the church also gives smacks. Enough of the smacks. We broke the hold of the smacks and the hard words over us in the name of Jesus. And we want a couple who can administer the gospel and come to Jesus. He can sort us and clean us up while being full of compassion. Can you pray?
There's a microphone down there. Can you have that mic? Oh, behind you. It's behind you.
It's behind you. No, it's not.
Okay.
Be ready.
Okay.
You know, stand. Should we stand?
Yeah.
Would it be appropriate to prophesy that word now or not?
Holy Spirit, yes. I want to pray that you will fall on everybody in this room. I want to pray that you'll do such a work in their heart, that their heart would be joined to yours, their hearts would beat at the same time as yours, that you would get hold of people in a way like they've never known before. Mm. And as you get hold of their hearts, Jesus, I pray it will transform them, and you would give them such a love for people that it will, you'll break their hearts for what break your hearts, that they... I just pray from the oldest to the youngest that they would have such a compassion to go out and love people like you love them, Jesus. Oh, they'll be moved by things that moved you. Take people out of their comfort zones. We can't stay the same for the next season. We cannot stay the same. So, Holy Spirit, I pray across the board, you will change us. You will change us, Lord. If that means getting on our faces before you, to have you change us, let us be changed that we can go and change the world for you, our community around here. And I ask that in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I want to read a short scripture and apply it and pray it prophetically. I hear this prophetically as God's voice to us. It's from Romans chapter 13. It says, "And do this. Understand the present time. The hour has already come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ." Those verses just struck me this morning. That really felt them powerfully to prophesy, and I even mentioned it to Angela. I said, "Would this be appropriate for what you're saying?" And she said, "Yes." To wake up. And this is God speaking loud and clear to me, so now I've had the opportunity to share it with you. Wake up, Paul. Wake up, City Hope, and get dressed. Put on the armour of light. Armour is for battle. And put on Jesus. And put aside the dissensions and the ag and the nonsense. We want to be united in one as we go, because it's time to wake up. It's time to go and take the love of Jesus. And you don't have to be clever.
No.
You know, I'm doing it myself. We can put all clever, tricky words together, and we can alliterate, and we can apply, and we can be very clever with the words. Listen, go and give someone a cuddle who no one else cuddles. Because we got the words of eternal life, you know, the love of Jesus and a little bit of kindness. Because there's a lot of people who hurt bad, and there's a lot of people cut off from him, and there's a lot of people who just in darkness, they don't know which way to go today. And when you see them, they're sometimes horrible because of their situation, and it's easier to blank them. You think, oh, right, I don't have to them. They're violent, they're noisy, they're smelly, they're horrible. Give them a cuddle. Oh, no, she's just said Angela's got to speak in a minute. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
I'm going to start going around in circles, but that's what I just... God stirred me so much in the worship, and that's what it is. Bless you in Jesus' name and listen to those words.
Pray the anointing on them.
And I do pray, Holy Spirit, that you would anoint us as City Hope. Thank you for the encouragement that Angela's give us, that we are a little bit different from a lot of churches, but I pray for an anointing to be very, very different. I pray for an anointing to be able to show that love, an anointing to be able to proclaim the good news of Jesus in word and deed. And I pray for salvation, that we would see souls won for Christ and see the kingdom advance and see light instead of darkness. And you would anoint every single one of us, old and young, rich and poor, extrovert, introvert, it don't matter. But we would be able to do it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
I didn't know I was going to do that. I just stay open to whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do. Because I move around, you know, we're all in a different family of churches. But I cross into all the families of churches. So I'm in lots of churches, different on a Sunday. Always like coming back here because you are different. And if I can shout that over you. You've got something, a jewel going on here. And you are pioneering something. I'm a pioneer. That's why I'm always in trouble. But it is. Pioneers pay a price. I paid a price in South Africa with the security police and with the government and so on. And not being liked. And I paid a price. And even now as a woman in ministry, I pay a price. It's huge. But I'm pioneering for women and for men to work together as team, because the kingdom needs both the giftings. And so for you as a church, you're a pioneer church. You think, well, we, Bermondsey, in inner city London, Rotherhithe, Peckham, but you actually are pioneering something. And I really feel God wants to let it sink in. So you'll find you at the forefront of the devil's tactics. The enemy is going to try and push you to give up or go somewhere else or not pray or whatever or get so cross or relationships are going to fragment or something small happens and you make it that big. You must realize we have an enemy. That's his job. He's only doing his job. That's what he's a liar and he deceives. And so he wants to disrupt all of you. He wants to disrupt your families. He wants to disrupt life. You've got cross-culture here. And you've got different classes, if there's such a thing. This is unusual. It's a melting pot. It's like an Antioch. If you read in the book of Acts, in Antioch, they had this melting pot of all different people. And that's where they were called Christians for the first time. Because they were little Christs They acted like Christ. And so the outside world said, oh, they are Christians, little Christs. And so you are all little Christs. If you follow of Jesus, it's not only about the elders and the leaders. You are all little Christs, and people are looking. And the power that is in Paul Brown and Denise is in each one. Because, you know, it's not, well, you see, Angela's standing at the lectern. She must have Holy Spirit or Jesus living in her. That big. But I'm in the back, and I've got, he comes, he's the same size for every single person. And when I was still on staff here, 2012, the London Olympics, do you remember? The place came alive. I have never seen such joy and pride in the flag of this nation, and it was so cool. And quite expensive to go to the Olympics, so we didn't go to the able-bodied, but somebody very kindly bought tickets for Greg and I to go to the Paralympics. So we're sitting there watching, and I'm minding my own business. One does. And people who are visually impaired, they get ready to run. Now, I want you to close your eyes. Now, imagine running. And then imagine running in a lane. How on earth do you run in a lane when you can't see? I can't even run in a lane when I can see. And I watched the people, and you see, you had the visually impaired, and you had somebody come alongside who ran at the same pace. And the visually impaired person was connected to the person who could see by some kind of Velcro or something. So they ran at the same speed. And when the person who was visually impaired went over, because they were out of their lane, the one who could see moved them back into the lane. And I watched this, and God spoke to me, and it seemed like it was an hour, it was probably a split second. And he said to me, all Christians are running like that visually impaired person. We are all visually impaired as Christians. Because we run by faith and not by sight. The Bible says, isn't it amazing? We run by faith and not by sight. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We can't see, but by faith. And just like the visually impaired person has got somebody attached to them, we have a somebody. He is called the Holy Spirit. And not only is he attached to us, but he's over us and he lives in us. And so we've got this lane in front of us, and every one of us has a lane that we are running in. So as we run and our foot goes there, because it does, the Holy Spirit convicts, he does this. He does it, and he keeps us in our lane if we will listen. Then in our lane, you know, as we worship, we don't have to have our eyes. Oh, Chris is, I mean, he's higher than me. I can't do anything because Chris is so big. You know, we look at people and we think, oh, their ministry, they are so big. I only do the coffee. Who am I? But don't we do that? Do you know? Do we not compare ourselves to others? And sometimes it's a matter of, well, because I only talk to a few friends, I don't think I can do it anymore. Because look what Denise Brown does. Am I right? We compare ourselves to people. There was a woman called Zola Budd, which some people... Oh, yeah. She was a South African. And she ran barefoot. And there was a woman called Mary Decker from America, who had spikes, you know, to run, running shoes. And they ran at the same pace. So the Olympics for that year, whenever it was, 1980s or something, was everybody's eyes were on these two women to see who would win. Well, these two women were so besotted with each other's lane that as they ran, they didn't run for the win. They ran looking at each other's feet and in each other's lane. But do you see? You know what happened? They tripped each other up. Their feet got tangled and they fell. And they were out of the race. And the two of them have never run for the Olympics again. And that's what God showed me at the Olympics, so as these visually impaired people were running. Don't look in other people's lane. Don't compare yourself to somebody else. Because you see, it says in Ephesians 2 verse 10, before time, God prepared good works for us to do. It's prepared. It's done. It's in our lane. And so as you run, worshiping Him, eyes on Him, your good works, you don't have to go look for them. They come looking for you because you're running into them. Yeah? And so the prepared things are right there. And so you do it, and then you run, and you do it, and you glorify God, and the next thing, and the next thing. And so if you get into somebody else's lane and try to do this, we don't have the grace for it. It's not prepared for us. And then it flops a bit. And you think, oh, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. I don't want to go to that church. I don't want to, you know, because it hasn't worked. But we do. Instead of staying in our lane, also in our lane are hurdles to jump over. Our lanes are full of hurdles. You see, if we just ran, we would never get strong as Christians. We'd be like spoiled kids. But in the lane, God has hurdles so that we learn how to jump. Because once you've jumped, you can help somebody else get over their hurdle. So you can say to people, oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I had that. So we jump. And God is a kind Father. He's put enough in us to overcome the hurdle, to jump. He's put enough in. And we think, I haven't got enough to last. And God says, yes, you have. You have. It doesn't feel like it. But lift your head up and go. So we jump over these hurdles and we become stronger. And we jump and we run to win the prize. Because the prize is Him. The prize is Him and the glory of Him. So what about us? And we can say, it's Him. So He's waiting with this prize to give as we run. And so it's for each one to get into their lane. I just think of Kwame. Hello, my friend. So I met Kwame in Accra, in Ghana. Little did I know, and Kwame know, that in his lane was that he's going to be living in England and be at City Hope. Do you see? There was nothing. There was nothing that could have told us in Ghana that Kwame would eventually be here. How does that work? But before time, God had prepared for Kwame to be in Bermondsey. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? And so Kwame ran into it instead of having to look, you know, what am I going to do? And what's my ministry? Worship God and your ministry will come into, you will see what your ministry is. Isn't that amazing? And so I want to say to you, City Hope, stop looking in each other's lanes. Stop comparing yourselves to everybody else. Stop saying, well, that one does that, and who am I? Because I'm only. And Dan brought that word about the paper chains. This is paper chains on people's hands because it's like, I can't do anything because, you know, I'm only the. And yet the, you know, I'm only the small person. I'm only doing this. And it's like, get the chains off. It's paper. Do your job. Because to do the job, everybody has a part. And not everybody can be the preacher. That's where you go mad. And not well, yes. Because the work won't be done. Not everybody would be the welcome person. Otherwise, you've got the intimidation of the whole church on the pavement. I wouldn't want to come in then, do you see? And so we've each got a job. And when we do it faithfully, there aren't sizes of the jewels that God's going to give. Oh, well, Billy Graham, he led thousands to the Lord. One day, his jewels are going to be huge that he gives to Jesus. Who am I? I led one person to the Lord. So it's going to be like this. It's not. Because in Billy Graham's lane was thousands. He was only doing his job. And the jewels come from obedience. We get judged from our obedience, not by the size of the ministry that we have. And so Billy Graham and the person who only led one person to the Lord gets the same jewel, because in Billy Graham's lane was thousands. In Joe Bloggs' lane was one. And that one would have been as difficult as Billy Graham's thousands. Do you see? And so we compare this. But when you put your eyes on Jesus and you love him and you obey, that earns the jewels. So people have said to me, Angela, you went into the townships and you did all that and you moved people from shacks into houses and you're going to get so many rewards and all. And I said, no. The end result belongs to Jesus. Jesus saves. Jesus heals. Jesus casts out demons. Jesus. I will get a reward because I said yes, even when I was so scared to go into the townships as a white oppressor and be killed any minute and security police on my back. But I obeyed. And therefore the jewel will be for obedience, not the big work. You see, obey Jesus. Obey what the Bible says. Obey the call that is on you. Because, let me read Hebrews 12:1. When you read the Bible and you see all these people who have gone before us, waiting for us with Jesus. They are a cloud of witnesses. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race with perseverance. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. You know, when God gives me pictures or stories, I always look to see, where is it in the Bible? He's marked out the race. It's already marked. We are running Olympics. And we're running visually impaired. This Olympics, but it's been marked out, and the Holy Spirit keeps us on track. For the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Father God, I pray for this church. And Lord, when Jesus sent the people out two by two into towns and villages and into homes, he said that when you go into a home and they accept you, leave your blessing behind. And Father, it's with great joy that Greg and I leave our blessing behind here. We'll be back, but leave our blessing behind. And I want to ask, Lord, that whatever was marked out for this church, they will reap the rewards of obedience, whether people can't stand them or break the windows. Well, it is the outsiders, or break the windows, or whatever, or throw eggs, or harm. They will keep on going with the gospel. Because also when I came here, I heard that somebody had brought a word that the streets of these areas is going to run with revival. It's like a river. And that was 2006. I'm waiting for the river. And it was going to come when churches also join together and do stuff together. I think that time is coming too, where there won't be all the separation of we can't meet with them and we can't meet with them. And I know City Hope's very good at meeting with other denominations or whatever, but for the good of the city and the city of London, because London is a hotspot for the world of changing mindsets. Imagine revival coming to London. And so, Father, will you come with power and open each one's eyes as to their part in and their lane, and an ability to relax in their lane and say, okay, I'm just going to worship him and run and see what comes my way. And who knows? It's like Kwame is sitting here today because he was in lane. Who knows what God has got for you in your lane? And there's different things that come up all the time. So going back to Cape Town is now in our lane. And God gives the grace for it. If you have felt small, we mustn't be embarrassed now. This is family. If you have felt, well, what, who am I? What am I doing? And, you know, my background is I did this and I did that and I did so much wrong and everybody else looks so clean and so on. Yeah. But we get in that mindset. I wonder if we're brave enough, Holy Spirit come, to come forward. Because we're going to break chains off here. If you feel, who am I? I'm a nobody. I do nothing. I want you to come forward. Holy Spirit, come.